The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
The land who rules over you simply find out if you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Wednesday, July the 8th, 2026, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled The Contumelious Kind. And the time is 8:06 a.m. over here in London, England, and it is nice to be talking to you again. Okay, so today's show title, The Contumelious Kind, relates to today's show image, which is that famous quote by Alexander Solzhenitsyn that goes as follows. We know they are lying. They know they are lying. They know that we know they are lying. We know that they know that we know they are lying, and still they continue to lie. He said this in reference to the Soviet regime, who I refer to as the contumelious kind. The word contumelious that I had never heard of before, but I actually discovered in a comment on the Crystal Palace supporters website homesdale.net a few weeks ago. The word contumelious is defined by Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary as insolently abusive and humiliating, which I would not only use to describe the Soviet regime, but pretty much every regime, and that is what governments are, regimes running countries around the world today. I mean, is it not accurate to describe governments whose actions make their people believe we know they are lying, they know they are lying, they know that we know they are lying, we know that they know that we know they are lying, and still they continue to lie? Surely governments whose actions instill that belief in their populations can only be described as insolently abusive and humiliating. Okay, so here's what I've got to moan about since last week's show. Let's go over to my Brave browser and go into I focused on a couple of, obviously there was that website canary.co that lost its funding from Lloyds Bank. We're only a few days after they published an article with the headline, I forget the exact headline, but it was something to do with, see if I can bring it up quickly by typing in canary. Sometimes it comes up. No, it's only coming up with the most recent article, which was the one where they said they got debanked. But basically they revealed that this new chief of staff of Andy Burnham was the head of the Labour Friends of Israel for a couple of years. And I pointed out that neither the Daily Mail, that's supposed to be the leading publication on the right in the UK, or the Guardian, the leading publication on the left in the UK, chose to mention that when they were going through his career history. That was omitted by both these supposedly opposing media publications. I've just brought up the article, Breaking Canary Debanked by Lloyds. So when I saw this headline in the Daily Mail, Sports Club Take Lloyds to Ombudsman for being debanked after 74 years as loyal customer, I assumed that they would make some reference to the debanking of the canary in the article, because of course, you know, this only happened a few days before this story was published on the 2nd of July. But instead, they chose to refer to The issue of debanking came to public attention, I'm quoting from the article here, the issue of debanking came to public attention after Reform leader Nigel Farage clashed with NatWest after it closed his account with upmarket bank Coutts in June 2023. Well, the same bank Lloyds has debanked a fellow media publication, Canary.co, only a few days before this article. Why would you not refer to that? It's a lot more relevant because it only happened a few days ago before this sports club was debanked. But instead, you choose to go back to a debanking that happened over 3 years before in 2023. Why don't you go for the more recent one? Could it be that you don't want people to know about that? Let's move on to... where are we? Oh, this is an interesting one. When I was with my German girlfriend for a few years, from the late 90s to the early 2000s, I remember one time she told me that in Germany, if you lose your job in Germany, you will get a benefit that is similar to your salary that you were on for a certain period of time. And that's all I know. Now, I never looked into it. I don't imagine that there was any possible gain she could have had by making that up, and she wasn't a liar, certainly to my knowledge. And with that in mind, go from there to the fact that German workers are basically, because they've got a high sickness rate, they're now going to have to visit a doctor if they even want one day off work ill. And that's going to be passed as law. Oh, because too many people are going off sick. Well, what do we talk about this? The welfare state we talk about. I remember when I was... My working life, my full-time working life, started from, what, 94 after I finished university, right up until I started this show in 2016 when I was working for a company. So I did about 30 years. No, it's wrong. 22, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. So anyway, it was only about the last job I got in, what, 2012? Because I took a couple of years out to write In the Name of Yahweh, just under a couple of years, from 2010, I think, to 2012. When I got that job in 2012... I was on less money than I was getting in 1995. Okay. I think it was all about 16,000 in 1995. I think I got a job on 16,275. And of course, the 16,000 in 2012 was worth a lot less than the 16,000 in 1995. Actually, I think it was 97. It doesn't really matter. There's only a couple of years in it. The point I'm making is not just that the salaries were going right down, but if I was off sick at all, I didn't get paid. All other jobs before that, if you were off sick, you know, or you phone in sick, or you might, generally it was a day here, a day there, you still got your full pay. But suddenly a decision was made amongst firms, because I don't know anybody now that if they go off sick that they get paid. Now obviously if you have a situation like long-term sick, like you're off for a year or something like that, then firms would generally pay you for a few months, but you know, after 3 or 6 months, something like that, you'd have to go on to statutory sick pay, something like that. So what changed? Well, for me, and this is an opinion, I think that all these laws that were brought in about making, you know, giving people, well, it weren't necessarily laws, but in this sense, they were certain, what, the environment was created whereby people were paid. You know, people do get ill. Someone might have a cold. Do you want them really spreading it all around your workforce, or would you rather pay someone for 3 days while they're at home? That was just normal. But it makes me think that maybe this was brought in, this culture, because, so that some guy who might be, like, have one assistant to help him out, and he really needs that assistant, if that assistant is off, he'll need to hire someone else somewhere and give them the money he was going to give that guy. Well, if he's got to give that guy the money as well, then he's got to pay two people when he's only budgeting for one. So consequently, that happens a few times. They're going to go out of business, aren't they? But the bigger firms aren't going to go out of business. So now I think what we're seeing is less and less independents out there. And you just look at the COVID and the closing of everyone non-essential that didn't seem to apply to any large organisations. It only applied to, you know, the small people, who many of whom were never able to come back afterwards. It's got to such a stage that I think the control amongst these big players now is, we don't have the competition, we don't have to offer these perks to our staff of paying them when they're ill, because we haven't got we don't have to have that culture anymore to drive smaller people out of business, because they're out of business. So what they do in the 70s, I remember finding a record, and it was called A Lost Leader, and it was put out by a record company. It was somewhere from the 1970s, and it says, we sell this, we make a loss on this, but what we do is we put songs from the artists that we've got on our record company in the hope that you'll listen to one of them, or maybe hopefully you'll like more than one of them, and you'll buy the individual albums by the people. But the product was actually called A Lost Leader. Well, this, in my opinion, is what's been going on here. They've been offering these perks to different people. I mean, look at things like pensions. I mean, my parents retired on 2/3 their salary. So you get that until you die. Now, I've never had a final salary pension scheme. I've got a pension with about 40 grand in it. It's quite a lot of money when you think about it. 40 grand, well, but how long is that going to last you to live on? That's your whole pension, right? That's not 2/3 your salary, okay? So you can see how benefits were given to people and they were gradually taken away over time. They gradually clawed them back. So these people in control, they're not known for their benevolence unless they're getting something out of it. They've got some long-term strategy. And I think that that's what we're seeing now. They're going to reel in all the so-called perks that we had, and because they believe that they've got it all. But we'll see if they're right or not. Staying with Germany, well, sort of. There was a guy, I think he's over somewhere in London, I think it might be Dulwich, but he bought a section of the Berlin Wall. It was in Herne Hill, wherever that is. I think I've been through there on a train, fast train. I've never got off, though. And he bought this piece of the Berlin Wall and he put it up in his garden. The neighbours didn't like it, and so he's been asked to take it down. He said that this is a historic artefact, which of course it is. But it turns out that you are allowed to have things in your garden, but they're limited to a 2-metre height, and this section of wall was 3.6 metres tall. And when you look at some of the pictures of how he got it there, he had to have it on a special truck. It weighed nearly 3 tonnes, and he had it installed in his garden, this part of the Berlin Wall. So that's apparently got to come down, or he's going to pay a £20,000 fine. I'm not sure how that works. So can he pay the £20,000 fine and keep it? It says that he has to pay it if he refuses to remove the wall, but I doubt that that would then be that. I imagine he pays the fine and then they come after him again, but I'm not really that interested, so we'll move on. They're still talking about El Nino in the mainstream media, and it's going to be catastrophic and it's strengthening, and we're in our third heat wave, and generally you might get a heat wave not even every summer, and suddenly we've had 3 in the UK, and it's not just the UK. They're happening all around the world. I believe America's going through it. And for me, knowing about the Heart Machine and having spoken to Nick Begich many years ago when I had him on the show, it's even documented that they can control, back in Vietnam, they used to seed clouds so they could cause it to rain in certain places and stop it from others. And you can find that in records. So they don't get round to scrubbing everything. So if they could do that then, what can they do now? And we know how much they like making life as unpleasant as possible for us. So I find the whole idea that we're getting all these so-called heat domes, as I mentioned last week, which is a term I've never heard before, popping up all over the world. I find it very suspicious when you look at who's really running things. Donald Trump continues to be the classless imbecile that he is. The latest thing, I don't even know if it's worth touching on, you are all aware of it, but he got the red card that was imposed on a United States player. He got it suspended so the player could play the next match. Now, it's a difficult one because when I thought about it, I thought what they should have done, the American team, is they should have said, well, actually, we're not going to be labelled as cheats here. So just because Donald Trump's arranged it to be rescinded, we're not going to play that player, because otherwise, you see, if I was part of that team, I won the game with him playing that he should have been suspended for, I wouldn't want to risk being called a cheat. Okay? And that's exactly what this guy is. And it's these sort of actions that bring us back to the show title, the contumelious kind. Everyone else has to, if they get players suspended, then they can't play them next game. But, oh, not Donald Trump. Oh, no, I put a call into FIFA and now they're going to suspend it. And now guess what's happened? England had a player sent off in their last match and apparently now they're appealing that and saying, well, you know, this other guy had his red card suspended. Why can't our guy have it? And so it opens up a whole thing. And it just goes to show, I remember years ago, I read an article about Donald Trump. And this was when I was much younger, and I talked to my dad about it, because he was trying to get hold of some land somewhere, and someone didn't want to sell, and he owned a bit of land near it, and he said, okay, if you don't sell it to me, I'll just build some giant structure on my land that you'll have to stare at. And I said to my dad, and I thought that was good, you know, because I loved, like, J.R. Ewing in Dallas, and, you know, the conniving way of getting what you want, but basically I was a child, okay. And so now I know that that sort of behaviour is wrong. And my dad said it was wrong. But I thought, oh, it is quite fun, you know. It's a get your own way, stuff like that, as you want to do when you're a child. But this guy's never grown up, Trump. He's still a child. And it's not just that he does it, but he's so addicted to the word that people say, dopamine rush you get when people see what you do and they praise you for it, something like that. He has to put, oh, it was me, I did this, it was me. You know, it's astonishing to me what a sad life he must lead. I mean, with FIFA as well, FIFA are the same people that when he didn't get his Nobel Peace Prize, he got them to set up some sort of FIFA Peace Prize, never been done before, so he could have that instead. I mean, it is just childish. It is pathetic. And this is the guy we're told has got his fingers on the nuclear button there. We know there's more to it than that. But Oddity Central. Now, there's a website I haven't touched on for a while because they changed the way that they displayed their articles. They really ruined it, but I was on my phone and I'd run out of looking at everything else. So I looked at this. And there's an interesting story from June the 19th. I hadn't looked at it for so long, it's new to me. Indian ascetic monk hasn't sat down in 5 years, has the swollen legs to prove it. And it's in, that's kind of it. There's some horrible, you know, because his legs, his feet are like all filled with water and stuff like that. And he just stands up all this time. And apparently he's vowed not to sit or lie down for 12 years. So he's less than halfway through his aim there. Odditycentral.com, you'll find that article if you want to read more and look at some of the pictures. I wouldn't recommend it. They're pretty horrible. But it's definitely a site worth looking at. It's not something that I go into every day or even every week. But every so often, you can flick through and you'll find stuff on odditycentral.com that you just won't find anywhere else. And it's very refreshing. There's an interesting one here. This is Daily Mail. Blogger who exposed Walter Mitty chief... I'm reading the headline just so that you can type it in and find the article if you want to read in more detail. Headline, blogger who exposed Walter Mitty chief constable found dead in hotel room while awaiting sentencing for child sex offences. Now, I think something like this is worth looking at the comments. And let's go. There's 77 of them. Let's go to the best rated. So this guy's pointed out the wrongdoing of a chief constable of police. That's basically, for those of you outside the UK, we have, like in London, you have the Metropolitan Police for London. But then when in, they're then run by county. So when I was in the county, I lived in Dorset and I was part of Dorset Police. And that was the police for the whole county. So that's how it works. But this was, so this guy ran a particular police, so the chief, as it were. And then a guy who pointed out that this guy was lying about something that cost him his job ends up being found something to do with child sex. Well, the top comment here from Antoinette in Ireland one day ago all sounds very sus. 564 upvotes, 26 downvotes. Let's go down a bit further, see what other top comments. There's nothing really there. This is from Vera in France one day ago. All seems quite strange, given the fact he uncovered the Walter Mitty police chief. If he was up to no good himself, would he want the spotlight putting on him uncovering the copper? I think what she's trying to say is that if he was up to sort of things involving child sex or images or whatever it is, would he really want to, you know, get involved in this or rather keep his mouth shut? That's got 428 upvotes, 17 downvotes. But yeah, so it's quite an interesting thing here, isn't it? But what I find more interesting is how people are digesting it. And what, I mean, for example, this is probably summed up best from Thornton 13 one day ago. Rather convenient. 218 upvotes, 19 downvotes. And another response to that from Moody Get. One day ago, someone knew too much. 212 upvotes, 18 downvotes. This is encouraging because it does show, I'm very pessimistic about everything, as you know. But when people come out, and this guy may be guilty of these child sex things, but because so much has happened, people are actually saying, look, I've heard this before, you know. The boy who cried wolf, this kind of thing. People are getting that. The problem is that they can't really do anything about it. Because if they speak out too much, and if you start to point out who's behind certain things, if you research something for years and write a book about it, you might have to take that book down. You know, these sort of things that go on, they're just restricting the way that you can protest about things as well. So unless you do things that I would never advise anyway, I've never endorsed violence, and it's just, what are these people going to do apart from moan? And the contumelious kind in charge, they know that you know that they're lying. And again, where do we go from here? And this is why I only see divine intervention. And some people might say that's a cop-out. But you show me something historically where this system has been overthrown and you've got something better as a result. It's amazing to me. Okay, so staying with the Daily Mail, I was quite interested to see this article that came out a couple of days ago. Headline, sorry flat earthers, study reveals conspiracy beliefs spark a significant breakdown in relationships. Oh, really? And the Daily Mail has been reporting some stories of late that I never saw in the mainstream media, but I did see in the independent media. But it says here that a couple of quotes from the article. Well, I'll just read the first few lines. Believing in conspiracy theories can trigger a significant breakdown in romantic relationships, a study suggests. Researchers have found that obsession with conspiracies such as QAnon, flat earth and COVID vaccine misinformation can fundamentally change a person's behaviour. This leaves partners struggling with anxiety, stress, insomnia and social isolation, they warned. And it can wreak havoc on family life, leaving relationships on the brink of collapse. So in other words, if you look into anything outside of the mainstream, then you might lose your wife and your kids. That's what they're basically saying. In the study published in the British Journal of Social Psychology, researchers interviewed 17 current and former partners of QAnon conspiracy believers. QAnon is a far-right conspiracy theory that claims the world is secretly controlled by a deep state cabal of Satan-worshipping child sex offenders. Right, as I was reading this, I was reminded of the Cass Sunstein five-point plan that you can find on the Cass Sunstein Wikipedia page in the section Conspiracy Theories and Government Infiltration. Point three of the 5 points says, government might itself engage in counter-speech, marshalling arguments to discredit conspiracy theories. Number four, government might formally hire credible private parties to engage in counter-speech. Well, could the British Journal of Social Psychology, or these current and former partners of QAnon conspiracy believers, could they be credible private parties engaging in counter-speech? I don't know. All I know is what I'm reading in this article from the Daily Mail, or what I'm reading in this Wikipedia page on Cass Sunstein. But it certainly makes me think, and the most important thing is the ability to think for yourself. Not what I think or what other people think, what you think, but let's have a look and see again what they... Because this looks to me like a hit piece on the Daily Mail. It might also be a trial bloom piece. They put out some certain things. Let's see what people are talking about with this, you know. What's the general mood out there? How is our disinformation program going? What was that guy said? We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believe is false. The top... it's not the one I was looking for, but... I'll get going anyway. The top comment from Ben Hall, UK, one day ago. Sounds as if they're trying to turn the COVID criminality into nonsense. Don't let them get away with it, folks. 114 upvotes, 25 downvotes. But here's the one I was looking for. It's still up there. It's not the top as it was, but this went up a day ago from Jet Parcel Sale. A cabal of sex offenders? Have you ever heard of anything so absurd? Honestly. Next, you'll be saying they're tied to Jeffrey Epstein. 112 upvotes, 5 downvotes. And then someone's been listening to Malefica Scott's satirical ending from UK one day ago. Well, I hope they haven't been listening to Malefica. I hope that they came up with this themselves, because that's what I'm hoping, people to think for themselves. This is what they said. What's the difference between a conspiracy theory and fact in 2026? About 6 to 8 months. You can call it conspiracy theory, a term the CIA invented, by the way, but I prefer to call it pattern recognition. 112 upvotes, 20 downvotes. So, and it's interesting, these top, they're not talking about the flat earth aspect, because I've had people on here that have said that they were approached by people promoting Flat Earth that offered them money to do let them on their show. Okay? So, for me, it doesn't really matter if it's flat or round. And I was interested in who controls the world. I'm not a geologist, right? I'm not really interested in that at all. Makes no odds to me. But those people that talk about that as if it's something significant, again, I would say, why are you talking about that when there's so much more things going on in the world that are far more dangerous to you right now? Seems like a red herring to me. And if you're wasting time on that topic, it sounds to me like you might be disinformation yourself. Okay, let's go over to, well, rather back to odditycentral.com. This is a more recent article, probably the most recent one. It's from yesterday, July the 7th. Headline, China builds world's largest train station in just 38 months using an army of workers. The station covers 1.22 million square metres, or about 170 football fields. Now, it's called Chongqing East. It features 29 platforms, 15 railway tracks, up to 8 floors, topped by a massive 16,500-ton steel tube truss roof. Its 400-metre-long platforms are designed to handle up to 16,000 passengers per hour during peak periods, as well as China's longest high-speed train. So, when did you last get a new station built? When did you last get new trains? Anything new, infrastructure-wise? Why is all this going on with China? Why are China... We hear these stories, not in the mainstream, but you do read that all these things about coal-burning stations, stuff like that, they never look at China to stop them doing it. But it's only in the West. It sounds to me like they deliberately deindustrialized certain countries that they don't like for some reason, and then they focus that infrastructure on other countries that they like more. That's the way I'm reading it. Because I'm certainly... We don't even have roads that you can drive down safely in this country without potholes everywhere. And it's not just in the UK. I hear about this in the United States as well. So why have we got such poor infrastructure here, yet in China they're able to do all what they're doing? Very suspicious. Again, maybe China aren't run by the contumelious kind. Or maybe they are, and they just want to give them better infrastructure to get more out of them. Because they realise that they're a population that they like more than us. So they want to destroy us, but they still need someone to do their work. So they're going to use them. Wasn't it Kissinger went over there back in the 70s, something like that? All very suspicious. And finally, we'll finish with the Daily Mail. Headline, Substack Career Revival. Why cancelled stars like Hugh Edwards are turning to Substack to rebuild their careers. I have to say, this made me laugh because I must be one of the only people in the independent media who doesn't have a Substack page. I mean, I did. One was set up in my name. Goodness knows what was put on there to attribute to me. Presumably something that was could be used to jail me, pretend to be me. I do remember having to write to them several times before they finally actually took that down. And how one... I'm not sure I believe what they told me. Because the most simplest thing, if I want to check how many rewards I've got from a certain store, I have to go through two-factor recognition now. I have to get try and log in, and then I get a code on my phone. But Substack are saying that someone was able to set up an account, provide my email address, and then they didn't have to get an email to that email address to click on it to verify that they were me. Does that sound in the current day and age? I mean, maybe Substack's policies are really, security policies are so lax that they don't get you to, when you give them your email address, they don't send you an email so you can confirm that that is your email address. Either way, they're either got very, very bad security or they're lying about this. I don't know, because I would never want to set up a Substack account, because people that rely on platforms are just playing their game. Okay, you need to have your own website. What haven't people learned? And you look at things like YouTube, by doing these different things, you're accepting being made these second-class citizens. Oh, I lost my YouTube account, so that... I mean, I fell into this years ago. It's like with this alt-right things. I mean, suddenly alt-right came along and, oh, everyone's talking about the alt-right and we've finally got this movement and there's all these people and Donald Trump's going to help us out and all these different things that turned out to be nonsense. And then they promoted all the Hitler stuff in the alt-right, which never sat well with me. An independent... Someone in the independent media now without a Substack account is someone in the alt-right without a swastika. That's the way I see it. And I would never go near Substack for the way that they misrepresented me. And I just... I'm speechless at the amount of people that rather than set up their own page, their own website, and go out and promote that, do they not learn? that if someone else is controlling the platform, the chances are it's not somebody that's got your best interests at heart. But there you go. Who wants to listen to me? Okay, I think that that's everything that I've got in the news today. So let's go over to what I've got in my little script here, which is the something for you to listen to section of the show, in which I tell you about the song you can listen to via the YouTube link in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Today's song is Voodoo Lady by the League of Gentlemen, that was included as an extra on the DVD of their second series, which originally aired on BBC Two in the year 2000. For me, it is one of the greatest comedy programmes of all time, which may come as a surprise to some people when you consider there was a German character on the show called Hair Lip, and I was born with a hair lip and a cleft palate. But you see, when I watch something, I watch it for a reason, and when I watch a comedy, the reason is to make me laugh. And both the League of Gentlemen and their character Hair Lip made me laugh and continue to do so. And film review time. I haven't got a film review written up, but I am going to tell you about one. And I like to do it this way, actually. Well, I was at the car boot sale that I go to every couple of weeks, and I saw some films already, and they're going to the charity shop. So I'm going to run through them quickly. First up, Fatal Attraction. That was such a hit. I think it cost about $30 million to make, and it made something like $350 million. It was one of the biggest films of the 80s. And we remember, I mean, even the scene with the boiling of the dead rabbit. I mean, that resulted in a term for a possessive woman, a bunny boiler. I'm not sure if that is something that you're familiar with outside of the UK. But if you get a woman that, you know, is really desperate to get hold of you and she won't take no for an answer type of thing, she's referred to as a bunny boiler. As a result of that scene out of Fatal Attraction. And there's a famous comedy in the UK called Only Fools and Horses, which I never liked. For me, it was a poor imitation of Minder. But they had a scene in that where the lead character, he had a woman that he was becoming really possessive and he just wanted to be free of her. And there's a scene where he finds something boiling on the stove and it ends up being his granddad's pants rather than a bunny. But I remember that. I watched it and I just found it to be like a lot of Adrian Lyme films, full of sex, which I really don't enjoy looking at, to be quite honest. And not a lot happened. There was a bit in there that I completely forgot about where she slashes her wrists, and that was quite a shock, so I'd forgotten about that. But there's that, there's a bit with the bunny, there's a bit where she takes the kid, picks up the kid from school, but then drops the kid back at the house, stuff like that. Just not a lot happened in the film. For me, it was just slow and boring. And I listened to the commentary as well, and I found that to be similar. And then I got Memento with Guy Pearce, and it was the first film by whatever his name is, the guy who did the Batman films, the guy who did Oppenheimer, and he's just bought out this Odyssey film, Christopher Nolan. And I remember I was looking at something to do with Oppenheimer that never interested me. And someone said about, there were bits in it where the music was louder than the guy speaking on the film, and he couldn't hear what he was saying. And he said, oh yeah, sometimes I do that. I want so... You get your actors to speak, but you turn up music that you've got on the film so you can't hear the actor. I mean, what is the point of that? Well, his first film was called Memento. Now, I've got his second film, Insomnia, which is really good, with Al Pacino and Robin Williams. Great film. But Memento, I'd seen it years ago, but I think I only ever saw it once. And it was on one of those stalls where I asked the guy, I had a DVD on my hand, how much are your DVDs? Oh, four for a pound. A lot of these people there, they just say, well, you can either take four or you can pay me a pound for that one. So I'm sort of hunting around for different things. I thought, well, I'll look at that again. And it's one of these films that's all running flashbacks. And it was so confusing. And in the end, the story itself, someone made an excellent comment. I don't know if this was on the Wikipedia page of the film, But they said even if you'd have seen the story the right way round, rather than in flashbacks, if you'd have saw it going forward as it should have done, from start to finish, rather than from finish to start, it wouldn't have been interesting. And with all the flashbacks, it just made it confusing and annoying. And that's what I found when I saw the film. And then the last one. And you remember I said that you really should trust the judgment of your younger self. If you didn't like something when you were younger, we do change. I've changed certain views over the years, stuff like that. But if you don't like a particular film then, it's unlikely you're going to suddenly like it now. Well, I saw this particular film on a stall. It had Harry Dean Stanton in the lead role. It was a German film. It was all in English, filmed in America. And I looked at the back of it. I read up what the story was about, and it didn't excite me at all, do you know what I mean? So I put it down, and then I was walking away, and I thought afterwards, look, you're going to kick yourself if you don't buy it. Even if you put it on for 5 minutes and you don't like it, you can take it to a charity shop. It's better to just do that for whatever it's... And then I went back and I bought it. It was only £1. It's called Paris, Texas. It won the Cannes Film Palme d'Or, Cannes Film Festival Palme d'Or. So it was got the big prize back in 85, I believe. And it's about a guy has gone missing from home for 4 years. He's found somewhere in Texas. His brother goes to pick him up. He won't speak for about the first 20 minutes of the film. And then he gets brought back to the house. He sees his son he hasn't seen since he was 3. He's now 7 or 8, something like that. And then he goes to find the wife, tracks her down, and then leaves the son with her, and that's it. And that took 2 hours, 20 minutes to go through. And I just decided to sit through it. And all three of these films are going back to the charity... Well, they're going to a charity shop. I say back to the charity shop. They came from a car boot sale. But I look at it. Oh, it's such a wonderful film. Oh, it's a masterpiece. It was so boring. And just because people tell you something, you have to bear in mind, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I can't understand how anyone would sit through that. The amount of excuses I made to sort of nip out the room and check something like an email or something like that, just to try and make this 2 hours and 18 minutes go quicker. The reason I wanted to see it is Harry Dean Stanton. You remember the Stanton Walsh rule that Roger Ebert came up with, that any film Harry Dean Stanton or M. Emmett Walsh acting in can never be entirely bad. Well, Harry Dean Stanton only ever had the lead role in 2 films. Lucky, which he filmed when he was 90, and he died the following year at 91, which not a lot happened, but it was a charming film. And this film, Paris, Texas, he had the lead role in this, but other than that, he always was brought in as like a character actor and did a great job. But it didn't work for me. So there you go. Okay, so let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. So we'll go over to... Let's have a look at the clock first. I think we're going quite long. 43 minutes, not too bad. Okay, let's have a look at AP News. You always like me moaning about all the pop-ups there. Let's see if we get the headline before the pop-ups come up. Main headline, quick. Tehran targets Bahrain and Kuwait after US strikes and limits Iran's oil sales over ship attacks. Seems awfully convenient, this, doesn't it? Every time they talk about something, it's not a ceasefire, it's a MOU, another new term, a memorandum of understanding. They love introducing us to all these new things that seem to mean absolutely nothing. You know what people want? People were quite happy before all this nonsense started. Now people are having, I'm reading reports in the, not really in the mainstream media, and there are people in the independent media that will put stuff up for clickbait, we know that. But we'll see how it pans out. There are a lot of people that say that the energy is just running out. Again, I understand that countries like the United States and the UK only get 20% of their oil from that region. So I still can't quite work out how you can't make sort of 20% worth of cutbacks and everyone can still get by. But there are people that say, oh, that 20%, that's like 100%. So that doesn't make sense to me. But again, neither does this so-called war. And we'll just see how things pan out. But we know how much they hate us having energy. We've had people coming out in France with the heat waves there saying people shouldn't use, you know, I say people coming out, people in authority. Oh, you shouldn't have air conditioning for the environment and all that. And again, I don't see people, imagine the amount of energy that was gotten through. And I very much doubt it was all solar, folks, to build that huge station in China. I never heard anyone complain about that. But whenever somebody wants energy in the West, there's always, oh, well, you can't have it for this reason, or you can't have it for that reason. Or that. And it seems just excuses to try and make our lives miserable. Okay, let's go over to the Daily Mail, see what's going on over there. They had a big court case yesterday. It's been going on for a few years, and basically celebrities were accusing the Daily Mail of hacking into different things to get information, unauthorised, stuff like that. And ever since the ruling went in Daily Mail's favour yesterday, the top story has always been about this. The latest one is the top story, Stephen Glover, this was nothing less than a conspiracy to destroy the Daily Mail. Thankfully, a judge had the good sense to reject it, but the enemies of a free press won't go away. Well, one thing that I downloaded today to listen to that was, I'm going to have to click on it to read you the description, and it starts playing when you click on it, so you just have to pause it. There, I'll pause it. The Richie Allen Show from yesterday. Now, he's on podomatic.com. That's where you can download it for free anyway. So podomatic.com, The Richie Allen Show. And episode description. Richie is joined by the author and former Fleet Street investigative journalist Christine Hart. This is from yesterday, but it says today has been one of the most significant days in the long-running battle between Britain's newspapers and some of the country's best-known public figures. This afternoon, the High Court dismissed the claims brought by Prince Harry and a number of other high-profile claimants against the publisher of the Daily Mail, Associated Newspapers. Harry's costs could run into tens of millions of pounds. For more than a decade, she worked undercover on major investigations for national newspapers before leaving Fleet Street in the aftermath of the phone hacking scandal. In a remarkable and highly controversial new book, Prince Harry and the Grifters, Christine tells Richie that Harry's case against the Daily Mail was a hoax. She makes serious allegations about journalists, lawyers, campaigners, and the legal strategy behind some of Britain's biggest privacy claims. This is must-listen radio. Well, it certainly interested me enough to download it, and I'll be listening to it later in the day. I can't endorse anything that's written in that description because I know nothing about it. Never heard of her, never heard of the book. Never heard of any of this being called a hoax, to be honest. I thought it was people claiming that they've been hacked and the newspaper claiming that they hadn't hacked them. That's what I thought it was. I wasn't aware of this angle to it, but it sounds like fun. So, as I say, you can look that up at podomatic.com if you feel so inclined. Let's go over to the BBC and have a look at their top 10. So we'll scroll down. Here we are. Number 10, Russian fuel shortages bite, but will Putin change tack in the Ukraine war? So we're hearing about fuel shortages in Russia, which I find strange because it was our prices went up when we lost that pipeline from Russia because we were so reliant on Gazprom over in Russia? So they're producing their own fuel. They don't rely on the Strait of Hormuz. They've got so much of it, they can power us. Okay, and when that went, all our prices went up. So again, another conflict that didn't benefit us, but we're told it does. We're told we have to pile all this money to help Ukraine out, just like America's told they've got to pile all this money to go against Iran. But in either case, the people aren't benefiting, the people are only suffering. So why is it being done? Well, it's obviously not being done for your benefit, and you're the majority, so it must be a minority that wants it done. And who is that minority? Well, unfortunately, my democratic right to free speech in the United Kingdom forbids me from going into that. Okay, number 9. Chris Mason, Farage attempts to seize back agenda after finance row. Number 8, NATO allies announce £37 billion for new missile project. Number 7, more protein or less, the foods to get you through a heat wave. I've been struggling with this. Loss, if I can't sleep, in the end I have to eat, and that helps me sleep, and consequently I put on weight. And that happened last night, and then you wake up all bloated. I'm not going to have any breakfast. I'm not going to eat now, probably till lunch, and I'm going to have that late. Well, I generally have to have my lunch about midday. It's all because I stuffed myself with crisps and nuts and stuff because I couldn't sleep, and then I got to sleep. And if it keeps going like this, I'm just going to put on stones and stones in weight. It's crazy. It's really annoying. But, you know, it's either that or you have a load more beers and knock yourself out, which I really don't want to do. Okay, number 6, extreme marine heat wave expected for parts of UK. Well, it already is extreme as far as I can see. I woke up this morning, it was 86 degrees Fahrenheit, just gone 6 in the morning. Number 5, Tom Holland on his last chance to play a boy in The Odyssey. Number 4, let the people judge and Farage gamble turns to farce. Number 3, Virgin Media fined £28 million for preventing customers from cancelling contracts. Now, I'm experienced with them. When I moved into the apartment I live in now, I had them at my previous address. So I was in some sort of contract with them. I said, okay, I've moved here, so just transfer me over. Oh, we can't do that. We can't serve that address. Oh, okay, well, cancel it. Oh, no, we're not cancelling it. You still have to pay us for the full term. I said, well, you can't supply me at my new address. Oh, well, that's not our fault. We didn't tell you to move. I mean, literally, that's what I was told. And the guy, I went to a Virgin Media shop because I knew a guy there. And he sort of looked at me like he knew this sort of practice was going on. He knew it was wrong. He ended up calling up and he got it sorted out and got it cancelled. But that was my experience with these people. Again, the contumelious kind. Yeah, any normal person would be, oh, we can't serve you anymore. Well, I hope the move's gone well. We'll cancel your contract. Oh, no. Some bright spark at the company thought, well, that's not our fault. We can get that money too. Just the stupidity, the lack of foresight. I would never, I mean, I might live till I'm 80, 90 years old. And I doubt I'll be here for the rest of my life. So I might go to another property in my life and need a different supplier. But it will never, ever, ever be them. Okay. Because of that treatment. But people don't think like that anymore. They're so short-sighted. They don't think of the big picture. What was that line? You don't try and sell a guy a car 1 year. You try and sell him 5 cars over 15 years. That clearly hasn't been the thinking in my experience. And from this headline here, I can't say they all had similar things. But obviously, it says they've been preventing customers from cancelling contracts and they've been fined £28 million for it. Well, I hope that you enjoy spending that money, Virgin Media. If you'd have behaved in an honourable manner towards me, maybe to these people, you might have avoided that fine. Number 2, manhunt for suspect in deaths of mum and children. And number 1, Farage's rivals were all outstanding in Clacton by-election. Now, Farage, I don't like at all. I don't like to be personal about people's physicalities, but especially someone like myself, who was born, as I said, with a hair lip and a cleft palate. But when I look at Nigel Farage, he reminds me of the toad out of The Wind and the Willows. That's what I see when I see him. And he is, again, one of these people that base this so-called populism, where he'll talk about being anti-immigration, but he'll never talk about the Barbara Lerner Spector YouTube video. Why is that? All these Giorgia Meloni, Viktor Orban, all these people, they're so far right, they don't want immigrants and all this, but they don't talk about that at all. Why is that? Well, because they're fake, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I might be wrong, but if they are so much against that, how come they've not referred to it? How come they don't know about it? How come someone who's got a staff cannot find out what I can find out when I have no staff? Why is that? Okay, so let's move over now to the independent media. Go over to rents.com. Little drink of water here. So we'll scroll down. I tell you, that blast with the it's getting really hot in the afternoon. And that little mist bottle I told you about that I bought, you just blast yourself with that on your hair and then work it down to your face and your body. Because I'm walking around shirtless at the moment, so you'll be pleased that I don't do video. It really does. It sort of almost gives you a kick when it gets cold like that. And yesterday I was doing it at one period every sort of 15 minutes. I was sort of coming into the kitchen because I got it in the fridge and spraying myself. So if you are struggling with the heat, just get yourself some sort of spray bottle and just do that. But the one that was bought, the Mister, it's better than getting an old sort of spray thing that had Mr. Sheen or something in it, because when you spray that in your face, it's like a jet of water hitting your face, whereas this other thing that I bought, it's a mist coming over you, and it's so much nicer. Okay, so rents.com. US needs to move bases from Persian Gulf to Israel, former CENTCOM commander says. That's their top story. And then Trump shares image of a $100 bill featuring his signature. Again, you know, why? What is so missing from your life that, I have to have my signature on the $100 bill. I have to have my face on that thing with all the presidents on, whatever they call it, Mount Rushmore. I mean, this guy shouldn't be in the presidency. He should be in a psychiatrist's office seeking help for this addiction he's got to being noticed. My grandmother used to call it noticitis. But he's so desperate to it's me there, look, it's me, everybody. I mean, the guy is not president, the guy is mentally ill. Let's go over to halturnerradioshow.com, see what's going on there. I'll just read you some headlines. Updated again, 11:24 p.m. Eastern, that's yesterday. That's only actually a few hours ago, really, because they're 5 hours behind us. Iran retaliating. Iran suffering numerous explosions after hitting 4 commercial ships in 2 days. The whole thing stinks to high heaven to me, just like the Russia-Ukraine thing, which seems to be to kill as many people off on both sides of the meat grinder. This seems to be designed to stop us getting energy. And people are already saying that it's affected our crop of this year and it's affecting fertilizer. And we'll just have to see how it pans out down the line, because we know there are people that make clickbait out of anything. And so many things you read that never transpire. If you were waiting for something to happen on the 250th anniversary of the independence on Saturday in America, I can sit here now and say, yeah, you know, another one of those dates they talk about, and of course, you know, nothing happened as usual. Well, I'm not surprised that nothing happened, but I was still thinking something might happen as well because of that very reason. So you're always left on edge, aren't you, with things that have gone on. But then I thought about it. I suppose the biggest event in the world that's happened in the conspiracy field is 9/11. And before that was probably the assassination of Kennedy and, you know, that really reached globally. I mean, you can talk obviously about other things that only few people know about that didn't get national attention. I'm talking that got mainstream attention. But I've listened to things before 9/11 and no one was ever talking about 9/11 as a potential date that something could happen. But then soon afterwards, 9/11, there's all this numerology. And of course, it's a number of the emergency services in the United States. It was obvious they were going to do it on that day. Well, I never heard anybody beforehand saying something was going to happen on that day, to my knowledge. They talked about people, apparently William Cooper and Alex Jones, so-called predicted it. I've never seen any solid evidence to that effect. Let's go over to earthnewspaper.com. Mark R. Else's website. And at the top, he's got moralparty.com. Join our moral party. We are the people. We the people take back America. So that's not going to work for me because I'm not in America. But that's something you can look into that I noticed. And then on his right-hand side, he has these different sections. And one of them down here, you don't have to go too far, where he has a nice little write-up for my show. He says, Andrew has a show 7 days a week, an insightful Christian show 5 days a week, a show with Dr. Peter Hammond on Tuesdays, and a weekly show, I'm Talking to You, all from my good friend across the pond, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. And thank you, my good friend from across the pond, Mark R. Elsis. Below that, excellent five-part audio series, A History of Central Banking, which is based on the book by Stephen Mitford Goodson, and I did this with Dr. Peter Hammond. And it takes you to five shows, which, of course, have long fallen off my website. Forget when it actually was a few years ago. They're BitChute videos, so they're not going to work for you in the UK, as BitChute is blocked. But if you are looking for something to listen to, that certainly was something that I got involved in that I thought was very interesting. Stephen Mitford Goodson's book was wonderful. And Dr. Peter Hammond had read it, and he summarised it in the way that only Dr. Peter Hammond can. I believe he did it justice back then, and I think it will be a refreshing and relevant listen now if you're looking for something to listen to. Okay, so let's finish off with the BeforeIt'sNews.com top 10. I see we've just gone over the hour mark. Sorry about that. So we'll scroll down and go to number 10. Just waiting for it to load up. Number 10 went up 5 days ago. 38 people viewing. Anti-aging expert. This reverses grey hair and this myth is costing you your health. Video. Yes. How many hair... There's something on here as well that says that they can, here it is, it's at number 21 at the moment, regrow your teeth, the end of dental implants, dentist explains. I mean, really? I've got a tooth that had to be removed that I'd love to get replaced, and I've spoken to them, and there's just nothing they can do. They can't put a bridge there because it's at the back and there's nothing behind it. They can't fit it in the middle of two teeth, something like that. And some guy comes out and reckons you can regrow your teeth. I don't buy it at all. In the same way, how many things have we heard over the years about people grey hair, trying to get their grey hair reversed, or people losing their hair? Oh, this will make your hair grow back. Have you ever actually met anybody who lost their hair and their hair grew back, or their hair went grey and they turned it back? My hair's going white and grey at the sides. It's sort of gradually, I imagine, going to work its way up. Don't mind it too much, actually. I'm quite happy to grow old gracefully. I don't feel the need to somehow hang on to try and, I need to dye my hair or what have you to try and look younger. I prefer to get older, actually. In fact, I was quite happy when I turned 50. Okay, number 9 went up a day ago. 47 people viewing. Ricardo Bossi and JMC. Trump breaking news. 7/7/26. The next war and the dawn of the golden age. Number 8 went up 7 hours ago. 70 people viewing. Live Phil Godlewski. Fraud. Yeah. July 7th, 2026. Is he referring to himself there? I doubt it, but some people might do. Number 7 went up 6 hours ago. 80 people viewing. Wano Savin, Big Intel 7826. Millions already fell for it. Number 6 went up 13 hours ago. 88 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez and Jim Willie, urgent warning 7726. We make bombshell threats. Number 5 went up 10 hours ago. 103 people viewing. Live X22 report, Trump is rearranging the deep state world, countries are now shifting away. Number 4 went up 4 hours ago, 115 people viewing. Byington bombshell report, French President Macron and Australian PM Albanese resign and disappear. Oh, really? I think last week, weren't you talking about that Keir Starmer resigned because of that? The child grooming gangs. Yeah, you were wrong then, and it looks like you're wrong now. Number 3 went up 13 hours ago, 131 people viewing. Josh Reed, shocking truth, 7/7/26, the world is about to change. Number 2 went up 7 hours ago, 175 people viewing. Gene Decode, Big Intel 7826, everything will be shaken. And number 1 went up 6 hours ago, 190 people viewing. Judy Byington, Wano Savin and David Nino Rodriguez. Shocking intel, 7826, constitutional law, RV and debt forgiveness activate as military arrests 847 federal. So there you go. Let's play the closing music. I want to thank you for joining me today for I'm Talking To You, episode 269, The Contumelious Kind. Bible readings up till Sunday when we'll have the parables of Jesus, Bible reading Monday, back to teach on Tuesday. And until then, folks, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.